This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 19th, episode 1280, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Hey, oh Jamie, this is Doreen Rose from New York. I hope you have a very happy birthday, and I'm so glad I get to hear you all the time on Horses in the Morning. Enjoy it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Jamie, from Dr. Ellen in New York City. Dr. Mom, we love you on the radio. We love your creativity. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to that girl. Hope you have a great day, Jamie. Mary Farr, Parcheesi, and Camilla.
Hi, Jamie. I know at a certain stage it's hard to be a year older, but I'm still going to wish you a happy birthday from Mayville, Wisconsin.
Hello, this is Robin Donahue, and I am calling to wish Jamie a happy birthday. Oh. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jamie. Happy birthday to you.
Hi, this is Nikki Lambert, just sending out birthday wishes to Jamie Jennings. I'm hoping that the birthday went well and that you got a lot of horsey gifts. Happy birthday.
Fröhlichen Geburtstag, Jamie. It's happy birthday in German. Have a great day.
Happy birthday, my friend.
Oh, my cheeks hurt and I'm almost crying. Smiling and crying. You guys, it was so nice. And throwing in Chili's god-awful Winnie in there was just a nice
touch.
That
was my touch, yes.
I figured. Oh, thanks everybody for calling in. That's so nice.
I hadn't said anything to Jamie about her birthday in the pre-show meeting, and I'm sure she thought we forgot. But we didn't forget.
Oh, one could only hope, but no, that's nice. Thank you very much.
See, actually, when I actually cut out a part. I have to tell you, I cut out a part because Robin put in there, happy birthday on the year before your big 40th. And I really don't even know what age you are. So I took that out because I wasn't sure if you're actually 39. So
I am 38. So.
I didn't think you were 39. I just sounded too old.
You know, I think I'm 38. I mean, 37 or 38, but I'm not 39 yet.
Okay.
God, what year was I born? I got to do some math. I don't know. At some point, you just, you know, and you
That's
start
right.
creeping
doesn't
up.
Doesn't matter
to this
anymore.
One. Doesn't matter. It's just old.
It's a day older than yesterday.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. But that was so nice of everybody to call. You're so sneaky. Surprises don't get by me, Glenn.
I've surprised you a lot in the last couple of weeks.
You have.
Sweden and birthdays
better,
and all kinds of
I better
of stuff.
Step up my surprise sniffing out game.
Yes, you better. I'm being pretty good here.
Yeah, pretty you're good. Doing good. My husband surprised me with something, and that does not happen. So I hate surprises, and he knows it, so he always tries to surprise me, and I always figure it out. So I busted him on one account this weekend, but I did not catch him on the other.
And you know
so.
What was amazing is all the listeners didn't tell you either.
No, not one of them, you little jerk faces. Seriously. Sneaking phone calls, but I'm like, gosh. And obviously, the girl who said happy birthday in German, I totally understood every word you said because I speak German.
Yeah, she speaks perfect German. You know, now that she's good at Swedish, I mean, German is next.
It's like the same thing.
That was Mona Wheeler, by the way.
That's so nice.
Who sang it in German. Yep. And it was actually very pretty. So
that's you guys. Thank you very much. That's super sweet. I'm at a loss for words. I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what. I'll go ahead and tell you the surprise that I busted about my husband on Friday afternoon. You know, I put the kid down for a nap around 1, and on show days I like to take a nap too because I get up so early. So, you know, 1 o'clock, he thought, oh, they'll be long asleep because the kid goes down at 12:30, which means I goes down at 12:30. and I'm out, my farrier shows up. So I'm out back, getting, you know, writing her a check and doing all that stuff, get the horses for her. And he drives up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to the back with the truck. I'm like, uh-oh, what's going on? I go, what are you doing home? He's like, gosh, I can't surprise you with anything. I was not allowed when I was a child, absolutely not allowed to have a trampoline. I mean, it was like as a death trap. My father told me I would break a leg. We would all die. He would lose all his children if we had a trampoline. Granted, trampolines were not as safe back then, but now they make these trampolines with the nets and all this stuff. And Chad bought me and Lucas a trampoline. So it's now installed.
You are now the redneck house with the trampoline.
I have a trampoline. I'm so excited. And now Lucas, all he wants to do is go jumpy.
I bet.
Hey, jumpy, jumpy. So what's exciting, Glenn, is you guys arrive on Friday so we can have some trampolining time all weekend. And what's really awesome is my dad arrives on Sunday and I cannot wait to shove my trampoline in his face. In your face, Dad.
He got you a pony. Boy, you're needy.
I was terrible. I wanted a trampoline so bad. It was always like, no, you'll die. Now I have a trampoline.
Oh, no, you'll die, but I'll get you a horse. That's safe.
Right? There's no logic. I would be galloping around with no helmet on, bareback, with a piece of baling twine around that pony's neck. And it was like, but no trampolines. You'll kill yourself.
I tell you what, you wouldn't get a trampoline if you watched America's Funniest Home Videos at all. Because every week.
This one is safe. It has a net. And
I'm shocked how many people, the middle tears out and they fall through the thing. It's like, how old does that trampoline have to be that it actually tears into pieces?
Well, this one is relatively new. Chad bought it from another guy who had it with his family.
Craigslist? A bad Craigslist ad?
No, it was another fighter pilot they moved here and they didn't have enough room in their backyard. So we got a really good deal. And then he also surprised me with, I sent it to him, I don't know, 6 months ago, Fred Stone, Google Fred Stone artwork. And he is a very famous racehorse artist. And Chad bought me the American Pharaoh Triple Crown autographed Fred Stone print. And it's also autographed by Victor Espinosa. And that was like such a surprise. So I'll actually text Jen a picture. And
that's really cool.
She can pose. It was so cool. And I was like, I don't get surprises. Like, I get the mail. I would see something from Fred Stone, but no, he snagged it before I even saw it come in and be delivered. Like, he was so clever. I got to step up my game.
Well, happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you.
And we got you something too, but we're going to bring it out with us.
I don't need anything else. Well, I got a trampoline. I'm good.
I don't want it, so you're going to get it.
Is this crap from your closet?
Jennifer, what's coming? No, this isn't crap. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, once we have had a good gallop around our co-host's weekend adventures, we'll get to know Metro Meteor, the painting racehorse. That's right. There's another painting racehorse out there. And then we'll take a sarcasm break with the wacky world of horsation. And wrapping up this least trusted day of the week, we'll find out what Kat Enright is up to in her newest mystery novel with a little help from Lisa Wysocki. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. It is Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to Chelsea Crawley. Chelsea won a Flex and Fork. I think she was the last one to win a Flex and Fork in our monthly drawings for really bad ads. And she wrote us a note and said, I don't have a picture of my winning Flex and Forks in action because I decided to donate it to a therapeutic riding facility that recently opened in my area. They work with individuals in foster care and give them the ability to interact with horses, rabbits, miniature horses, donkeys, you name it, and they provide them a safe place to visit. I love what they are doing, and I think it'll change the lives of many kids in foster care. I also know that the Flex and Fork will be in good hands there and will be working hard for such a great cause. She volunteers there a couple times a week or a few times a month, and she says, so I know I'll be using the Flex and Fork. And she attached a picture of her holding the Flex and Fork at its new home at the therapeutic riding place. She was standing there with Hope, who's a draft cross. So Jennifer will post a picture of that on our Facebook page. Thank you so much, Jennifer. Chelsea, for doing that. What a really, really nice idea and a nice gift for them. It'll be the nicest manure fork they have, that is for sure.
Man, that's awesome. That's so sweet.
Good for her.
I love our listeners. You guys are so nice. Big hugs. Well, it's kind of gone viral, which is crazy. The Bureau of Land Management and the Northern Nevada Correctional Center, as you guys know, NNCC, which is where I got Thor. That's the organization that the inmates take about 15 inmates, take about 15 Mustangs and train them. And then they are auctioned off to a public auction after their 3 to 4 months of training. And the auction was this past weekend. And as you guys know, this is where I got Thor, my Mustang. And I love him so much. And I keep talking about going back. I want another one so bad. And actually, in my mind, I was like, I was thinking about going to this one. I was like, I really like one of the horses. There's one horse in particular that really caught my eye, and his name was Divot, and he was 16-1 bay, almost looked like a 16-1 hand Andalusian, this big giant mane and this big forelock, and girls are just suckers for horses with forelocks. And I thought, oh my gosh, this horse, Divot. And then I start looking at all the horses. I'm like, wow. Like the first maybe three were all like under 15 hands, but from four on, they were all pretty big Mustangs. And I thought, oh my gosh, like there's a lot of really nice horses in this group. I want to go. I thought, if I don't get Divot, I like Yeti, the big gray horse. I'm like, he's amazing. Malachi, Character, done deal. These are all really nice looking horses. So I thought that I could go and I could get from pretty much Yeti on. I could get one of those, you know, you do it in your head. Well, the auction was this weekend. And of course, as you guys know, I didn't go. And I would like to give my Daily Winnie to the new owners of Divot. Divot, my pick of the herd, who sold for $15,000. Are you freaking kidding me? A prison-trained Mustang for $15,000.
The high when you went was what,
$3,000 was the high when I went.
See, you ruined it for everybody. You should have never talked about it on the show.
I know. So as I'm looking, I'm like, okay, so the first one went for $250, little black Mustang. It was like 14 hands. JJ, the next one, $650. Rocco, $1,100. Lloyd went for $2,900. Wow. Butch went for $350. And then after watching the videos, I thought, I like Yeti, the great
Jennifer
horse.
Liked Yeti, too.
Yeah. $4,500.
We have good taste.
We have good taste. Divot went for $15,000. And this is like from about Butch on, I was like, oh yeah, or Yeti on. I was like, we could take any of those. I would have come home with an empty trailer. And I'll tell you why. $4,500, $15,000, $3,600, $3,000, $3,700, $3,000. I mean, it was amazing. The average selling price, thanks to Divot, was $3,445. And the total money spent at this auction for 11 horses was $37,900.
Whoa. Does this go back to the prison for the next batch? Is that what happens?
Yes, it goes back. The money goes back into the program. So they are getting to
Be able to buy alfalfa next time.
They're going to get some saddles that fit the horses and guys a little better. Oh my gosh. Like amazing. $15,000. And the trainer who trained Divot, I remember him because it was his first group. And remember the little black horse that I liked from my group? He was the trainer of that horse, Sheldon. He was Sheldon's trainer.
I remember Sheldon, yeah.
Yeah, and it was his first group, and Sheldon was not trained very well. So I'm assuming that Divot, he's gotten a little better as a trainer. That horse, I want to know, I want to talk to somebody who was there, because I want to know, like, was he doing handstands? Did he tack himself up? Did he ride the trainer? Like, what happened to make somebody spend $15,000.
Yeah, boy, there must have been a couple people really wanting that horse.
Man.
Because the next one down was, what, $4,000 next highest.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I mean, none of them, like, you know, my budget was $1,500. And as you guys remember, they say the average is $800 to $1,000 is the average. Well, I spent $900.
That was the old average. That was the old average.
Now that the word is out, these horses are amazing.
Now, your trainer cycled out, right?
Yes, he is no longer there. And Chad is afraid he's going to
show up at the house.
Yeah. I'm here to see the horse. Oh, God. This is awkward. Yeah. I don't know where he went. I quit riding him a long time ago. I thought.
Yeah, he's gone.
This is not a good call. Like, we need to stop this. So was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm getting out soon. I was like, oh, I'm not writing him anymore. It's terrible. I know. But it was anyway. So they had a very successful weekend. So congratulations to all the trainers at Carson City Correctional Center.
Well, you also had you did a lot this weekend. You went and saw your good friend and buddy, Garth Brooks.
Oh, Garth, you know, we hung out and we hung out for like 2 hours, 3 hours. We hung out for 3 hours.
He sang love songs to you.
He did. He sang, you know, I got to say, though, it was really, I wanted more Trisha. She was supposed to be involved in the whole thing and she wasn't in it enough, but it was really sweet.
Oh,
it
was Trisha Yearwood, what was her?
Trish Yearwood, his wife, was there, and I love her. So she's a Georgia girl, and I just love her. And she came out.
So she doing the whole tour with him?
I guess so. Yeah, she came out and sang, you know, in another's eyes with him, and then stayed out and sung a couple songs by herself. And I guess Garth went back and took a break from his sweaty self because he worked so hard during that show. But it was like it was a really neat feel because it was like a husband and wife, and it was a loving kind of environment. They had a kiss cam going on. I mean, it was really, really sweet. It was very much a couple or family oriented event. It was really neat.
So there was nobody puking or all over you or dropping their beer on your head?
Well, the guy like three down from us had brought a flask in and he was pouring it into Coke. So, I mean, there was definitely some drinking going on, but I didn't have a sip of anything because I didn't want to dumb it down. Like, I mean, I wanted to see him forever. I wanted to
you wanted
be
to remember it.
Yeah. These people go and they drink themselves silly and then the show starts. They're like asleep in their chair, you know, but you couldn't sleep through this one. It was so loud. The crowd was so loud. I've never heard anything like it. He runs around like crazy. It's like, he's the old Garth of old, you know, and the guy has a billion hits. Chad and I on the way home were like, okay, what songs did he not sing? Because he sang hit after hit after hit. It was all the old stuff. He didn't try to sing anything new, nothing crazy.
Don't you hate that when you go to a concert to see somebody that's been around a long time and you're going to hear the hits and they're sick of singing the hits. So they sing all this new crap you've never heard of before. And it's really not very good. It's the reason it wasn't a hit, right?
Yeah.
It may have been their favorite, but
he said that. He goes, you know what, y'all? I paid your money. We're going to play the old stuff. And he was like, I said that at the beginning, and that's all he played repeatedly. It was really cool. And then we get in the car and I'm like, oh, he didn't sing this, didn't sing this, didn't sing this, didn't sing that. Because he has like 800 hit songs. Like there's no way you could sing them all, but it was a spectacular show.
So now did you like it in this environment? You also went to see him in Vegas and one of those kind of personal, he sits on the, you know, sits on the stage and plays the guitar and sings, kind of a more intimate environment. Did you like that better or this better?
I'm really glad we went to that one because he didn't play his hit songs in the Vegas one. He played songs from his like childhood and growing up and stuff he listened to. And then he played some of his songs and you realize how unbelievably talented he was in that one because he can play anything on the guitar and he can sing this. He was singing other people's songs better than them. And you just realize what a talent he is when we walked out of the Vegas one. When I walked out of this one, I loved this one probably more simply because it was him. It was his songs and the high energy and the crowd was crazy. It was, he comes to your town, it's definitely worth it. It was like $68 a ticket, which is super affordable.
That's not even bad.
Concert.
I mean, we'll pay for TSO over 100.
Yeah, no, that's a waste of money. I'll tell you right now. I'm just kidding. No, I mean, it was amazing. So it wasn't even that expensive as far as, of course, you know, you have to pay $20 fees to get your tickets from Ticketmaster. But it was totally worth it. It was a really fun night. And I highly recommend anybody going to go see him. It was great. And then Saturday morning, we hopped in the car and drove. We took our babysitter/nanny with us. She's our babysitter, but I'm like, you want to go see some horses? She's like, heck yeah. So we took our she's a boarder here. She owns Joey. She's 13. And we took her with us and we went to the east side of town, which is about an hour and 20 minutes away, and went to the Tonto National Forest to go see the Salt River Wild Horses. And we got there and there were no horses anywhere. All day, we drove around looking for a sight of a wild horse and saw nothing. It was terrible. I felt so bad. And I was like, we're never going to see a horse. Went to the hotel, great event, a great place. Chad and I went out. She babysat. Sunday morning, I'm like, get in the car. We're going to go find him. And we found in one of the most beautiful spots a bunch of wild horses playing in the water, totally, totally wild. It wasn't like I saw them last time kind of crossing through a picnic area. This was like they're in the river, sticking their faces under and pulling up grass from the underneath the water. I've never seen horses do that. To their ears, they put their face totally underwater and were grazing underwater, pulled their heads up. They had all the grass hanging down. The other ones were like taking it from the stallion's mouth.
The grass must be better because the neighbor's horse, our landlord's horse, will do the same thing. When we have standing water, he will go in and eat the grass in the water, put his whole nose in the water and eat the grass.
Really?
So I don't know if the grass is better underwater. I don't know.
Well, they're called water horses. They're a pretty unique group of wild horses simply because that's kind of how they survive. There's this lake and river that runs through the town, the city, you know, east of the town in the forest. And they were sticking, Glenn, their faces and not their muzzle past their eyeballs all the way up to their ears. They were sticking in underwater.
Did they have little snorkels on?
No, that's crazy. It was weird. I couldn't believe they were doing that. But I mean, that's how they survived. They've kind of learned to do it.
How long can horses hold their breath?
It was pretty surprising how long they would stick their faces in and graze.
I didn't know they could do that. Actually.
I didn't either. I mean, I've had horses that occasionally play in the water and stick their muzzle in.
Yeah, but not for like a half a minute.
Not their eyeballs and all the way up to their ears. So that's just kind of how they've adapted, I guess. And the stallion was doing. It was a really unique family. A stallion, about four mares.
And they don't have a blowhole on top, right?
No blowhole, but they might as well had. It was really neat to see that kind of behavior out in the wild. And we just sat on the edge of the river and watched them for, gosh, an hour at least until my butt went numb sitting on the rocks. So it was really spectacular. And I'll post some pictures on my Facebook page a little bit later once I get them downloaded. And it was really, really neat. It was a really cool experience. And that's if cool. Anybody is around, definitely go drive out there. You can message me. I'll tell you the places to go that are kind of the more popular areas to go see them. This was a pretty obscure little, we just pulled off. I'm like, there's got to be horses down there. And after 10 minutes, they just came right out to the water. It was so neat. So if anybody does want to go see them, just message me. I'll tell you where to go.
Well, it sounds like a great weekend.
It was. It was
a
super horsey
weekend.
Good
birthday weekend.
Yay!
Well, we have some news from over the weekend. Let's start with a certain somebody who bonked his head.
Oh my gosh, I'm so worried about him.
Well,
he's Superman.
William Fox Pitt was in France at a show in France at an event over there, and apparently on cross country, it was one of those fences that was an owl hole. It's one of those fences that's a hole. You know, it like sometimes
keyholes?
Yeah, like a keyhole fence. And apparently he fell off. I don't know what's after or before. There's not a lot of details, but he fell off. He hit his head really hard, and they worked on him for an hour. This held up the show for an hour, and they got him to the hospital. And apparently they said he's in stable condition. Is the last report I read. He is undergoing tests. He did suffer a head trauma. But his current condition is stable and he will continue to be monitored.
Guarded, right?
Yeah. The last thing that was posted this morning on his Facebook page says there's been no change in William's condition. He has undergone some more tests and will remain sedated under observation. So he's sedated right now. We are very appreciative for the concern, blah, blah, blah. So he is apparently sedated. A lot of times they'll put, you know, it doesn't sound like he's in a forced coma. A lot of times they'll do that to make sure that everything's okay before they wake you up. But that sounds like he's just sedated at this point. So he must have taken a big knock. I don't know if he hit the jump or what happened. I haven't found anything that gives details about what happened. He had completed one ride. That was the thing, too. He had already done the course. He had ridden his first horse, and then it was on the second horse that he had this happen. He was seated fifth at the time.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that's that's not the news that you want as a follow-up. You know, you want the, oh, he's up, he's fine. You know, he's mad, he's not riding. Well,
I'll keep an eye on it during the show, and we'll see if anything new pops up on Eventing Nation or over on his Facebook page.
Sounds good.
And then Tammy Smith, your friend, holy crap, can she lose anything this year?
You know, you say she's my friend, and I really wish she was. Like, I wish we were, like, best friends. I just love her. Yeah, she is on this horse, My Bomb, and he is just spectacular. She calls him the Black Stallion, even though he's a gelding, because he looks like the Black Stallion. I mean, he's one of those horses that you just dream about. And, you know, when we talked to her last, I kind of briefly mentioned that she had some personal stuff going on. And her best friend is a girl named Heather Morris, also an eventer. And they've been best friends forever. And Heather's brother, Dylan, has stomach cancer. And he actually has been fighting for quite some time. And she's always posted pictures about visiting him. And she calls him her brother. And he sadly lost his battle to cancer, stage four stomach cancer, on Sunday morning. So Heather actually had to fly back to California, and they had to do their, you know, I mean, goodbyes to your brother. Can you imagine how...
And he was not old. He was like in his 30s.
Yeah, and very young, very good-looking guy. I mean, just one of those just terrible, tragic things. And she said all weekend that she was riding for Dylan, and Heather wanted her to keep going, and she ended up... How, can you imagine getting out there and, like, basically your brother, you know, she called him her brother, like, passes away that morning, and she's got to go out there and do a show jump course. And she
said...
And this
is at Fair Hill. That's a 3-star, and that's a hard course.
Yeah. I mean, it is amazing. And basically she said that, you know, her horse just kind of carried her through the whole thing. And so did Dylan. Dylan carried her through the whole thing, and she gave him the win at the end. And she had a clean jumping around a couple time penalties and ended up winning. Philip Dutton, by the way, came in second. So she, like, by a lot, by, like, she had at least a rail in hand when she started. That's how nice this horse is and how great she rides him. So congratulations, Tammy. It's a very sad situation, what happened with Dylan. But, you know, he's definitely there with you, and carried her around that course. And she won Fair Hills 3-star. I mean, she's got to be thinking about Rolex. Yeah. She said she's not. She ended up winning a free flight.
Yeah, isn't she going to Europe? She's going to go to Europe, I think.
She's talking about going to Europe. But, oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. This is a 9-year-old German sport horse gelding, by the way, that has a bunch of owners, and they picked Tammy as the rider. And oh, such a cool thing. Such a cool thing.
And Fair Hill, they said that that cross country course was tough. So, you know, everybody was saying that. So she earned this one. And, you know, she was up there. I mean, in the top 10, you had Philip Dutton came in second, Kim Severson third, and then Boyd Martin came in 4th, 6th, and 7th.
Sarah, oh my God.
You had Philip Dutton in 2nd and 5th. Buck Davidson was in 8th. And then Marilyn Little, who's always in the top 10 now, 9th. And then Ryan Wood was in 10th place. So, again, well, you know why Philip and Boyd do so well at this one is it's literally down the street from their house.
Yeah.
And they bring all their horses to this one.
Yeah, so they have 100 horses.
Yeah, so. And they just bring them all because it's so easy to get to. It is literally probably 25 minutes from their farms in Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
that's great.
It is really a neat place and a wonderful place to show. They always have a dog competition that goes on there at the same time. And it really is kind of a party. So good for her. Good for Tammy. Right. Let's do this. Let's take a break for our title sponsor. This show, and that is Omega Alpha. We're going to be right back. You know, it snowed in a couple of places up north.
What?
Yes, there was snow, and some of our listeners had snow over the weekend, believe it or not. It's only October. So let's hear a little bit about Omega Alpha and how to get ready for the winter. Winter season is the time of year when our horses' respiratory systems often show signs of stress. More time in the barn, traveling long distances to winter quarters, and back-to-back competitions for weeks on end can all take a heavy toll on your horse's respiratory system. That's why Omega Alpha Equine has developed a variety of products to keep your horse's airways functioning properly. Airwaves, Lung Flush, Herbicough, Respifree, and Stasis have all been developed to keep your horse's respiratory system in peak condition. Ask for Omega Alpha's all-natural products at your local tack, and feed supplier, or visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And you can also follow them on Facebook. Just search for Omega Alpha Equine. And if you're in Kentucky over this week for the OTTB show going on there, they will be set up there as well. Well, speaking of OTTBs, there's a lot of them, 300 of them descending upon Kentucky right now for, well, we've been talking about it for months. You guys all know what it is. Well, there's one of them that's hanging out in Pennsylvania. He's retired, and he's just become an artist, and that is Metro Meteor is his name, and we're going to hear his story because he's doing some amazing things up there in one of my favorite towns of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and we have Ron on with us this morning. Good morning, Ron.
Hey, good morning, Glenn and Jamie. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's so good to have you here. You know, we lived in Carlisle and used to come down to Gettysburg, stay in a bed and breakfast there once a year. Just loved everything about Gettysburg. Jennifer used to go riding there when they allowed riding on the battlefield. It is just one of the neatest towns ever. So the fact that Metro gets to go retire there, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, he's got it pretty good. I mean, all he has to do is paint a few hours a week, and the rest of the time is just leisure time for him.
Now, how did you? You're an artist, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, what do you paint? What kind of art do you do?
I do mainly pet portraits. You know, people send me a picture, and I'll send them back a watercolor, you know, portrait of their pet. The abstract is kind of a new thing for me. I've always been interested in it, but Metro has a lot more success at it than I do.
It's funny how that works, huh?
Yeah.
So now let's talk about Metro a little. He was foaled in 2003. He was a sprint horse, right?
Yeah, he was a turf horse, grass sprint.
And he spent most of his time at Belmont up in New York?
Yeah, he was at Belmont and Saratoga, and he was pretty successful up there. He won 8 races, just shy of $300,000, but then he was plagued with knee problems. He had 2 knee surgeries, you know, when he was a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, and he was prone to bone chips, and the knees got the best of him, and he ended up at Penn National, and that's where we met him and adopted him off the track there at the end of his career.
Oh, by the way, if you end up at Penn National, you're on your way out. So that's for most horses. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, you're.
Now, was he? Yeah. So, did you adopt him right from the track? Did you get him right from the track?
Yeah, we were actually involved in a racing partnership with a place called Renfrew Stables. It's one of those, you know, you can buy as little as 3% of a racehorse for, you know, a few $100. Mm-hmm. And Metro was one of the horses. I mean, we only had him for 1 race, and when they were looking for a home for him, you know, he was gun racing. Then when they were looking for a home for him, you know, we stepped up and, you know, took him. We knew nothing about horses. He was totally wrong horse for us, but we just fell in love with him and made the best of it.
Well, you know, it is interesting you say that. I didn't realize that you didn't know much about horses when you got Metro. I didn't know that side of the story.
Yeah, my experience with horses was riding them around in a circle with a seatbelt on the saddle when I was a little kid. You know, at the Woodland Park Zoo. That was it.
So now, did you get him as a riding horse, or did you just figure I'll just throw him out in the backyard to be a cute pet?
No, we got him hoping for some light trail riding. My wife, you know, had some horse experience when she was a kid, always wanted a horse. We got him for her, and then when we got him off the track, you know, we found out how bad his knees were, and that it'd be a long time, if any, that if he was ever going to be rideable again. So, you know, I told her, I said, "You go get a horse you can ride, and I'll take Metro. You know, he'll be my horse. I'll find something to do with him."
And then you found out, from what I read from a vet, that the vet basically said, "You're not going to have very much time with this horse because of his knees."
Yeah, and the vet actually, I mean, his knees are so bad that he was getting bone growth in his knees, and she actually only gave him 1 or 2 years left before his knees would lock up, and that's part of the neat story about him is that when he started painting, the money that he was earning from painting actually financed this experimental treatment she set up, and back then it was Tildren, it wasn't approved by the USDA back then. We had to import it from Europe. And she set up the special treatment for him, all financed by his art, and ended up saving his life and reversing the bone growth.
Wow.
So how did you discover, I mean, one day you just, did he pick up the paintbrush and do it himself? Or he'd like walk in the studio and say, I want to paint today? Or how'd that happen?
Well, he's got this big personality where he's always got to be the center of attention. You go into the bar and he's the one who's got the big floor-to-ceiling head bob, you know, trying to get your attention. And, you know, I'd watch him bob his head, and from the very first day, Lars and me said, you know, if I could ever teach him to hold a paintbrush, I mean, he's going to paint some houses or something with it. And then when it came the day when you know, we were told we could, you know, no longer ride him, it was like, well, let's see if we can teach him to paint now. Teach him to hold that brush and see what he can do with it.
Wow.
And that, how'd you get selling the paintings then? I mean, how did that start?
Basically, it was just, it started out as just a way to spend time with this horse. He needed a job. I love spending time with him. He couldn't do the normal things that horses can do. He's not going to carry a rider. He's not going to jump. And I just wanted to find something that I can do with him to spend time together. And so we started doing that. And then the paintings look really good. I mean, I'm teamed up with him. I pick the colors, you know, I give him a chance of success, and he makes these brush strokes. They're just big, thick, bold, beautiful brush strokes that I can't do. And we were together, we were able to make some really nice paintings out of it. And we started selling them at the local gallery, and they just started flying off the walls. He started getting some news coverage. I mean, he's been at People Magazine. He's been on the Today Show. The paintings are pretty good. And we financed his vet treatments, and we're selling so many paintings that, you know, maybe we can help other horses with this. And then we started donating half the proceeds to, you know, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program. And, you know, they're helping find homes for racehorses and second careers. And it's kind of been, you know, his second calling where he's actually, you know, painting and helping other horses.
Well, we've had New Vocations on here many, many times, and we love them. And I love the fact that you're now helping them out too, finding homes for other OTTBs. Does he, you know how some artists tend to be moody, right? I mean, you know, right? I mean, I was an actor too. We all have our good days, and we have our days where we're just not into it. Is he that way too? Some days you bring out the paintbrush and he's gone, I ain't doing that today.
Yeah, he's as temperamental as they get. He never refuses to paint. I mean, he will paint. I let him out of the stall. He runs right to that easel. That's what he loves to do. We can paint outside. I can take his easel outside, put it on top of fresh spring grass, and he can walk out anytime and graze on fresh spring grass, but he's going to stay at that easel and paint. For some reason, he just loves it. And, and yeah, he's got that artist temperament.
Maybe he's getting high off the fumes. Maybe that's what he likes.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, yeah, he's addicted to it.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, I need to start hiding the paints when I leave the barn at night.
You know, they are really good, actually, and I can see why they're selling. And you do a good job of picking out the colors for them, so they all have a color palette, which is what I kind of like. If you let them just pick whatever colors, then I don't think they'd sell as well. But you really do a good job of picking colors that go together.
We'll build it up in layers. I mean, we can't, you know, throw oranges and blues and all that on the canvas at the same time because he just kind of smears it together. So when we build it up in layers, so like say we do blue one day and let it dry. Next day we do orange. Then we come back the next day with some blue and build it up. And all these colors kind of show through and they vibrate off each other. And it really has a nice effect, I mean, with his brush strokes.
Now, does he do his signature by himself, Metro, or does he get help with that?
I write his name on there. He does. Now we're signing books. I mean, I can put a pen in his mouth. He's got a coloring book out now called Coloring with Metro, and we've been selling autograph copies, which we're donating 100% of the proceeds to New Vocations. And I'll hold the book up, put a pen in his mouth, and he'll scribble on the page. And
unbelievable.
And so he's got his own autograph, but it kind of looks like a doctor's signature.
Now, tell us about the coloring book, because that's a great Christmas gift idea.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's neat. What it does is I will do half of the drawing. I'll draw a picture of Metro or one of his barn buddies, and then I will bring it in and I'll hand him the paint pen, and he just kind of scribbles his organic shapes all over it. So what you have is a picture of a horse with a whole bunch of scribbles all over it that Metro did. But when you start to color in the organic shapes that he makes, and you start to color in the horse, it has this really neat stained glass effect, and they're
exactly
they're kind
what
of paintings
I was
in their own.
Yeah, it looks like stained glass on top of a horse painting, and it's really cool. You could be so creative to paint something like that. What a great idea this was.
Yeah, I mean, this horse just surprises me every day with what he's willing to do and what he can do. It's he's an amazing horse.
I'm looking at some of these, and I mean, they range in price from what I saw some on Etsy for, what, $50, and then up to maybe $400 for the original ones. And some of these, I would definitely hang them on my wall.
Yeah, they are. I mean, if you go into a gallery and see a bunch of abstracts up and throw a Metro in there, you're not going to know it's painted by a horse.
That's really cool.
It stands alone on its own.
And who doesn't want to have an abstract painting that's done by a horse? I mean, at least the horse has an excuse for doing abstract. I'm not too sure about some of the humans that do abstract. So I get the horse doing it. I can get that. I don't get a lot of the others, but I kind of get this. I would definitely do that. What a neat idea. And I'm so glad that he's taken to his job. That's just so cool to hear about horses doing things that you don't expect them to do.
Yeah, and I can't believe how much he likes doing it. He just really enjoys painting. He loves standing at that easel. I'm ready to quit long before he is. He will stay there and paint with me all day if I want to stay and paint all day.
Well, how long does it take him to do a painting? I know you do it in layers, so...
We'll usually have, three or four going at a time. We'll spend 10, 20 minutes a day on each one. We'll let it dry and come back and add some more the next day. So, it takes, little sessions over the course of 3, 4, or 5 days before we have one done.
That is so cool. What a neat idea. What a neat idea. What a neat horse. And where can people find him if they want to buy him?
His website is paintedbymetro.com. Everything that's available, you can get on his website. Smaller ones we sell through his websites. The bigger ones go to Gallery 30 in Gettysburg. He's been the best-selling artist there since he's been there, which is kind of,
That's awesome.
They're best-selling artists of the whole horse is kind of neat.
Well, that is pretty cool. That's really neat. Well, I got to tell you, I'm very impressed. Now, another thing we have to mention is your blog. What's the blog address?
Painted by Metro on the blog. You can get through there. I have a link through his website, paintedbymetro.com.
Because my wife this morning spent hours reading your past blog post and kept saying, this guy's a really good writer. This guy's a really good writer. Don't mention the blog to the listeners or they will waste a morning just reading the blog. So that's a compliment, I got to tell you.
That's an old blog. I haven't done that. I got that I started that blog before he had a painting career. It was more or less just about someone who knows nothing about horses, having just this temperamental racehorse off the track and having to learn on him. I haven't added to that blog in so long, but I think it's called Retraining the Racehorse.
Yep, and she said it was fascinating to read the steps that you went through, the emotions. Yeah,
and we've put all those stories together, and Metro's got a book that's coming out from New Horizon Press in April called Painting with Metro, and it's going to be his whole life story and how I had to learn about horses with him and how he advanced from being, a difficult off-the-track thoroughbred to a painting horse who helps other horses. And it's kind of a neat book, and, someday it'll make a good Disney movie, his life story.
Well, that's true. Well, I hope you get that someday. I really do. And as I said, if anybody goes to Pennsylvania and you have not visited Gettysburg, then stop by. And when you're there, go to Gallery 30. But you definitely have to see Gettysburg, too. It's one of those places that you just have to do once in your lifetime. So
I even got to ride him on the battlefield a couple times back when he was.
Do they still allow it?
They have designated horse trails. You can't go off the trails.
Okay.
But they do allow riding there, and there's several companies that will take you riding in on the battlefield.
Yeah, I knew they had some trail ride guys that were there. I didn't know if they were still there. Well, that's neat. I'm glad that's still allowed because that's a magical way to see it.
Yeah, it is.
For sure. Well, there's so much history there. It's really cool. Well, thank you so much, Ron, for joining us. It's paintedbymetro.com. Get your painting for the holidays. I imagine they're going to sell out, so you want to get in line now.
He's a pretty popular artist.
What does he do over the holidays? You probably keep that brush in 24 hours a day. Metro.
Yeah,
stop eating.
Yeah,
paint. I can see it now. Thank you, Ron.
Give him a carrot from us.
All right. Take care, Ron.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye.
I would so buy one of these.
Yeah, they're really neat. They're really cool. And the fact that 50% of the proceeds go to help one of our favorite organizations as far as racehorses go, I mean, it's just so cool. New Vocations getting money out of it. And the coloring book you can get on Amazon, and it's only $6.95. So it's not like it's ridiculous. It's
that was a great idea, way to do the coloring book too, was to have Metro involved in creating it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, he's horse. Not to be whatever, but Ron is an evil genius. Like
yes,
he
I know.
Is an evil genius.
I know, but I can imagine Scooter. If I put it, he would knock the easel over. He would trample the thing to death.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there would be no painting. He would destroy the whole thing.
I have a 2-year-old who loves to paint. I'll get out the paints and I'll like give him a paintbrush, Lucas, and like let him paint. It is a total disaster. And he has like opposable thumbs. I'm covered in paint. He's covered in paint. The wall, the floor, everything is covered in, thank God, washable paint. I can't imagine giving it, hold this in your teeth. That's ridiculous. It's so cool. But you know what? They've been, Monets do it, but the Monets are not even as kind of covered as these are. I mean, he really covers the canvas.
Well, we had one of our live listeners said, oh, we all missed they apparently missed the opener I played for you. So why don't we play the song and I will replay that the opener with all the messages.
Yeah, get me all choked up.
I get you all choked up again, but they want to hear it. So I'll replay that after the song. You have a request for a song, right?
I do. I have a song request. It was so cool to hear it by Garth, but you know, let's take it back to the roots and let's get a little Dan Roberts, and that's Beaches of Cheyenne, the Garth Brooks song.
All right, right after this word from Equestrian Collections, we have a whole lot more, many more guests for you today, so hang in there. Hi, Glenn here from the Horse Radio Network, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This week, I'm going to be featuring the MDC Super Sports Stirrup. They actually come in two styles, but basically the thing that sets these apart are the footbed. A lot of your listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with the MDC stirrup line because they're really top-of-the-line stirrups. They're the ones that have the little turny thing at the top where you can put your feet at any angle for comfort and to make your feet more correct in the stirrup. But this new one has a very wide base with non-stick aluminum padding. That base is about 2.5 to 3 inches wide. And when you put your foot in that stirrup, you are secure. Your foot doesn't slip. You won't feel like your foot is going to slip. You really feel secure. It's great for fox hunters. Particularly, we were thinking fox hunters would love these because there's lots of good stability. And also, they come in with a flex side, the flexible hinge, which you can move your foot back and forth and you can feel that. Or they come in the more traditional one without that flexible hinge for those who want a more traditional look like in the show ring. But if you're the jumpers, the fox hunters, anybody, beginners, anybody that wants a really solid feel should get these stirrups. We've had trainers that got on my friend's horse who has this stirrup and she said, oh my God, where did you get these? Because they feel so good. Now, they're not inexpensive. The ones with the flexible hinges are $200, $199.95. So they are for the serious rider, but I highly recommend them. Really, the minute you put your foot in them, you're going to feel completely different and a lot more secure.
Well, and the other thing about MDC is it's top quality stuff. This is the good stuff. This is made to last, and it will last. Yeah, I highly recommend it. Anybody that even also has any kind of knee or leg issues, they'll find that these will help alleviate some of that as well. And of course, this is the MDC Super Sport Stirrups and MDC other stirrups on there as well at equestriancollections.com. Just search for MD as in dog, C as in Charlie.
And I also want to mention trail riders. They are great for riding on hilly trails too, for that secure feel.
Especially with the wider foot base, that would be
exactly.
That would be good.
Thanks,
MDC
Glenn.
Super Sport Stirrups at equestriancollections.com.
They packed up all his buckles, shipped his saddle to his dad. By the way the house looked, she must have took it bad. The workers come on Monday to fix the door, patch the walls. They say she just went crazy the night she got the call. He was up in Wyoming, drew a bull no man could ride. He promised her he'd turn out, well it turned out that he lied. And all the dreams that they'd been living in the California sand died right there beside him in Cheyenne. They say she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that you can go down by the water and see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. They never found her body, just her diary by the bed. They told about the fight they'd had and the words that she had said. When he told her he was riding, she said, "Then I don't give a damn if you never come back from Cheyenne." They say she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Nobody can explain it. Some say she's still alive. They even claim they've seen her on the shoreline late at night. And if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne.
God.
Hey, Jamie, this is Doreen Rose from New York. I hope you have a very happy birthday, and I'm so glad I get to hear you all the time on Horses in the Morning. Enjoy it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Jamie, from Dr. Ellen in New York City. Dr. Mom, we love you on the radio. We love your creativity. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to that girl. Hope you have a great day, Jamie. Mary Farr, Parcheesi, and Camilla.
Hi, Jamie. I know at a certain stage it's hard to be a year older, but I'm still going to wish you a happy birthday from Mayville, Wisconsin.
Hello, this is Robin Donaghy, and I am calling to wish Jamie a happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jamie. Happy birthday to you.
Hi, this is Nikki Lambert, just sending out birthday wishes to Jamie Jennings. I'm hoping that the birthday went well and that you got a lot of horsey gifts. Happy birthday.
Fröhlichen Geburtstag, Jamie. That's happy birthday in German. Have a great day.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
I love it. Oh my gosh. That's so neat. Glenn, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Jennifer, you had some too. Well, wait a minute. We can't hear you. There you go. Now we can hear you. Go ahead.
We're not done yet. We had a couple of email happy birthday greetings. This one's from Corinna. I'd sing, but I'm afraid of comparing my voice to yours.
You should be afraid.
Have a fabulous day and be sure to celebrate for a whole week at least. And also from Mary, have a happy horsey birthday followed by horse emoticon, horse emoticon. And not to be outdone, this one is from Sue. Happy birthday from Connecticut. Enjoy your special day. Have fun. Followed by these emoticons. Crown, birthday cake, high five, party hat, heart, thumbs up, smiley face.
I love the emoticon talk. Talk to me in only emoticons. I love it. Oh, that's so nice, you guys. Thank you so much. I did think I was about to hear Peace, Love, and Horses. Did you just tease me with that?
I did. I accidentally, it just started auto-playing after the last one. I was like, wait a minute, that's not the right one.
Is this like a string of Jamie's favorite songs you have on like... I'm like, oh, he's going to play it.
We can play it in the background if you...
We'll play. Yeah, there you go. We'll play it out. We'll play it out.
We'll just play it in the background while you talk. Or you'll just...
I can't talk.
You can't concentrate.
Because I am such an amazing singer. I was with Lucas yesterday, and, you know, I get a little excited sometimes, and I started singing really loud. I was like, singing to him, la, la, peace, love, and horses. And he looks at me, and he puts his fingers to his lips, and he goes, shh. Unbelievable. Chad was right. He laughed for 10 minutes.
That's funny.
Like, you don't know. You just bought yourself.
Boy has good taste.
He
has
good taste. Lifetime. Take dropping you up at school. Oh, Lucas. I'm going to kill it.
All right. I think that the only thing that's going to shut you up is this.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
And it is that time of the day where we welcome world traveler Leslie Wiley. World traveler because you like just got back to the United States.
I did, and I'm leaving again for tomorrow. For
what?
For Poe, the Forest Star in France.
Are you serious? Is your husband going to divorce you for being gone all this time, or is he excited?
I think he probably enjoys it. There's some baseball on and stuff. I think that's the thing that's happening right now. And
oh my gosh,
he's happy to watch in peace.
This is like, what happened to your world? I mean, my gosh, tell everybody where you just were.
I was just in the Netherlands for Boekelo, the three-star over there. And I've been...
How's the beer in the Netherlands?
Let me tell you, I don't know that I had a single beer, but this event was so, I mean, the events over there are just a whole different ballpark. Like the press center had an open bar with its own bartender.
No way.
Yeah. Like Boogaloo is just like a party event.
We don't get that at Rolex.
It's crazy. 60,000 people came out for Cross Country Day, which is like twice the size of Cross Country Day at Rolex. Wow. And the cross country course was just lined with bars and people, everyone's like, in their, you know, tweed and their caps and their dewberries, wow, and just like looking classy, and as the day progresses, acting progressively more trashy because they just start drinking so early, you know. But it was great. It was super fun.
Wow,
huge event. Yeah,
that is so cool. So you go to the Netherlands and you're home, and now you're going to Po. Are you serious? You're going to France?
Yeah. Hopefully I'm giving France a chance to French eventing a chance to redeem itself after the World Equestrian Games last year in Normandy that was so such a little disorganized. So
yes. Now I do have a dear friend that is riding in Po, Barb Crabo. So give Everready a big giant kiss for me.
Oh yeah, we are all cheering for her. She's great.
For sure. Now what Americans are gonna be at Po besides Barb?
Oh gosh, who? Sorry, it's Monday morning.
Don't answer that. You're still in Boccolo mode, so don't worry about it.
I don't know.
So do they just have at Boccolo or in France? Do they just have wine fountains? You know how there's chocolate fountains? Do they just have wine fountains in the press room there?
It was yeah, no, that would have even been more ridiculous, but yeah. Yeah, but they had like just parties every night and like this giant disco ball, bands and DJs. It was crazy. Wow. Oh, I've got my list of who's going. Barb, okay. Of course. Lillian Hurd, Katie Ruppel, and let's see, Rebecca Howard for Canada, and Jenny Brannigan.
Wow.
Oh, good. That's great.
Five North Americans going. But moving on, let's talk about it's Jamie's birthday. Let's keep talking about that. I tried so hard, Jamie, to train my horses to do an a cappella all neighing version of Happy Birthday, and I just could, like, no amount of carrots could make them like do it. They just would, they would sing it, but it was like out of tune, you know. It's like,
well, that would just right in there with Jamie. You should have sent it over. It'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing worse than an out of tune horse whinnied happy birthday. I mean, seriously. It's embarrassing. I think
my impression of that sounded like sheep.
It did, kind of, actually.
Wait, wrong animal. Must be Monday morning.
Oh my god.
But I want you to know I did try.
Well, I appreciate that. And it's really the effort that you went to, which really means something to me, Leslie, and I do appreciate it.
Yeah.
Super sweet.
Hey, Leslie, before we get to the stories, real quick question. Do you have any updates on William Fox Pitt?
Yeah. He's under observation. It sounds like he's going to be okay. Yeah. Let's see. They just had posted. Somebody had just followed up.
Did he hit his head on the jump? What happened with that? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't know what the details are. He had a fall at Lillian, in a young horse. He was in a young horse, like the 7-year-old division. Hit his head. Was taken to the hospital for observation. So I think they're just keeping him. Oh, I guess the horse fell too. The horse is fine. It sounds pretty good. They're just still doing tests and keeping him under sedation and keeping an eye on him because, you know, you don't want to mess around with head injuries. So, but
I think I read they were keeping him sedated. We talked about it earlier. So I'm just hoping the best for him for sure.
Well, he said it. So he doesn't get up and be like, I've got to go ride my horses.
Yeah, he would have been back on the course.
I got a horse trial.
It's the only way they could keep him in the hospital.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, you guys talk amongst yourselves.
I will do. Well, we only have another 10 minutes here today. We have another guest coming up yet. So let's talk about the three more internet horse myths that refuse to die.
Oh, man. I know we've talked about these before, but there's just things that circulate and recirculate around the internet that people just need
like
to
stop. Like the Facebook privacy thing that just will not die.
Yeah, will not die. Will not die. No. So we sort of tackled, Kristen Kovach tackled three more of them this week. The first one, this is the one that it comes up every single fall, so this is really timely, is the one about the Colorado State University blankening study. Have you seen this?
Yes, and I just saw it like 2 days ago again.
Yeah. 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 That's probably what, you know, sent her into this, gotta break it to you guys. This is not true. But yeah, it's this study that, and it sounds like when you read it, it seems like.
What did the study say?
Legit. It says basically the premise of it is, or the thesis is, blankening horses is one of the worst things that you can do to a horse in the winter because blah, blah, blah. Horse, you know, like, have, like, it sounds really, the horses have the ability to loft and lower their coats to 17 different levels. So it's like exchanging 17 different thermal weights of blankets off and on them all day and night, blah, 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 blah. Like, basically horses, like, self-regulate their temperature or their own, you know, thermostats. And when we put blankets on them, we're just messing it up, which is not true.
Boy, horsewear must hate this one.
Oh, yeah, right? Oh, yeah. And yeah, I mean, we...
WeatherVita must be like, oh, this came around again?
Yeah. Yeah, the funny thing is Colorado State, like, has... They never did this study. They never published this article. And they have no idea where it came from. Yes. But he just wrote it.
It was one of their students pranking them.
Yeah. Name on it and just set it loose into the internet and...
And you know, it's Colorado State, so it's kind of got some credibility, but yet you went, oh, I didn't even know there was a Colorado State. So, you know, it's what if you had said Purdue or one of those, Harvard, then you would go, you know, it's probably, you know, a joke. But Colorado State almost sounds like, well, it could have happened.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It was perfect, actually, to pick Colorado State and not a big name.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about the deaf mute bareback bridleless freestyle reiner, which I saw again?
This one. I mean, this has just got to be like the bane of poor Stacy Westfall's existence. She, it's that wonderful video of her doing. You know, she's doing this bareback bridleless performance and. Which is, I mean, it's beautiful. You guys have had.
Yes. Yeah. We've seen it. We've had Stacey on and everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but then the caption that goes along with it is that she's deaf mute, riding a horse that she'd ridden for 3 weeks. like it's just.
And who is it again that's in the thing? Because I remember seeing him being like, she's not a deaf mute. Isn't she like,
it's Stacey Westfall.
Stacey Westfall. Yeah. I was like, I even,
one of the biggest names in horse world.
The first time I saw it, I was like, Stacey Westfall is a deaf mute?
You know, what? I talked to her at Road to the Horse and she answered. So I'm assuming that's not true.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I wonder what she thinks of that.
She probably laughs. Stacey's kind of funny that way.
But it's and it's been this thing has been shared 800 Stacey
might have started it
times. She may have started it.
Just like, kidding, oh, Stacey. No. Just kidding.
Yeah. So that was the story that goes along with it. She has no voice. She cannot hear. Yet she has persevered and achieved victory. Like,
oh my
this is just cruel, actually.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about
it's ridiculous. I mean, yeah.
It's really insulting to everybody who is deaf and mute. I mean, it's the whole thing's just insulting. It's
insulting on all the fronts, yeah.
And by the way, Stacey is very, very popular. We were at Road to the Horse. She had a line about 200 deep the entire weekend for autographs. She's the goddess, you know?
Oh, yeah. She is. She's so cool. I love her, the videos that she's posting on YouTube all the time and training tips and
Wait a minute here. Now the third one, I actually thought this was true. So now you're busting my you're just making this up. It's got to be true. It's the one. It's the picture of the moose helping the loggers up in Alaska.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Now yeah, this one. I mean, but it's just proof of what people will believe.
Glenn believed it.
Believed it. I wanted that moose to be helping out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like the one of the most aggressive, that and the hippo. It's like the most aggressive animals in the world. And Glenn's like, oh, they broke into drive. That's neat.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. In the story, only in Alaska, this guy raised an abandoned moose calf with his horses. And believe it or not, he has trained it for lumber removal and other hauling tasks.
That could be believable.
You could buy that. Yeah.
It's like they would, I don't know. It seems like happen. The premise
How
of
do
like
you a, know it didn't happen? Did you grow you know? Up and witness it not happening?
They actually have proof.
Well, oh, okay. yeah, that it didn't happen.
A little Photoshop maybe, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
What about there was a picture of a little baby moose pulling a little girl in a cart?
That might be, that one might be true.
Okay. That's,
says others right, photos suggest that moose have in fact been broken to harness in the past, but not the one whose picture has gone viral.
Okay. Yeah. All right, I feel better now.
Sorry.
Well, we have time for one more. Which one do you want to do?
Oh goodness. Let's see. How about this? Because we were talking about this last time we talked. How to kill your phone at the barn.
Yes.
And it started, I guess people, you know, we sort of, at the end of that, we're like, you know, readers, send us your stories of how you've murdered your phone at the barn. And they, like, we got 43 phone obituaries just amazing, amazing
smartphone
deaths.
Crystal said, I dropped one in a bucket of black oil-based fence paint. Ugh. Cleaned it with paint thinner and it worked for another 6 months. It was black. I mean, the white phone was now black, but you know, it worked.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. I love Kara. Maybe you have the same favorite as I do. Kara's. I dropped mine in my horse's wet bran mash. It died and I took it to the store to see if they could do anything about it. And then the guy opened the back and looked at the bran stuck inside and gave me the dirtiest look. It was then that I realized that wet bran mash looks a lot like vomit to the uninitiated.
They were also at the Garth Brooks concert.
Yep. It actually started to work a few days later when the bran mash dried out, and it worked for a couple of years after that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I never would have thought that bran mash looks like vomit.
But
you're right. Yeah. It probably does to a non-horse person. Smells better.
Yep. This one made me feel better. From Mary. Two words, boob sweat. You've done that before, Jamie, right? Like your breeches don't have a pocket and you need to have your phone on you, and what are you gonna do? So you stick it down in your sports bra.
Absolutely, without a doubt, every time.
Without a doubt. And, yeah. And then the you boob take sweat. It out and you're like, oh. Yeah.
It's a bad call. So then I'm like, I obviously sticking it in the middle is the most logical place, but then that's kind of where the boob sweat pools. So then you try to stick it over to the side and it keeps working to under your armpit, and that's not going to work. So then you try to cram it back. And so basically the whole ride, you're sitting there messing with your left breast because you're trying to position a phone in the right place.
Yeah. Yeah. The struggle is real.
My husband is standing behind me and he's like,
and I was just going to say, and you're now listening to Howard Stern in the morning.
he can only hear half this conversation. He's like, what are you talking about?
Always comes back to boobs with me. And me
yeah.
And
apparently you two can't get away from that topic.
Circle around.
It's not even me.
Do you know how bad it would be if Leslie and I hung out all the time and be like, girl, do you know that one time I pooped and it was... That's how we would talk.
Yeah.
Move on.
All right, well, we got to go. We're going to leave it at boob sweat.
Well, I love you, Leslie. Thank you,
Leslie. Have a good trip to France.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Say hi to the French for us and drink some wine.
I will. Don't worry, I will.
All right, we'll do. All right, see you. Bye.
Bye.
Well, next up, we have to talk to another guest today because we're so excited that our book is coming out. You notice I said our book because we are the key figures in the book. Right, Lisa?
Yeah, key.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me get Lisa off of mute.
She hung up.
Yeah,
she hung up. Conversation.
Hi, Lisa. Lisa, are you there? Oh, wait, let me try and get her again. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Lisa Wysocki is on. Yes. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm great. I am so sorry that I missed the first half of the show because I came on when all I heard was Brand Mash looks like vomit. And I thought, man, I just missed, 45 minutes of a really great show.
You did.
And then boob sweat. What more do you want in a radio show in the morning?
I know. I don't know if I can top that, but I'll try.
Well, you can't get any better than that, let me tell you. Well, I got in the mail, and Jamie did too, just a couple days ago. We got our copies of the third book in the Cat and Wright series, The Fame Equation. And it's brand spanking new, and I can't wait to read it on vacation this week.
Yay. It actually comes out November 3rd. But the publisher is a little concerned that maybe they didn't print enough copies. So they're encouraging everybody to order theirs now to get in on the first print run. So I'm excited about that.
Can you tell everybody about those that haven't? We have a lot of new listeners that haven't, that don't know about Kate or that don't know about the Cat Enright series. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So Cat Enright lives in my head, and she's a fictional character in a mystery series, and she's a horse trainer in Tennessee, and always stumbles over these dead bodies. She's got a little bit of an anger management problem, and she's very vulnerable. And she has all this wacky cast of friends. She's got a teenager with a trust fund and a juvenile delinquent and a mysterious barn manager and then a client who owns some of the horses in her barn who's 70-ish and a former cheerleader with bright blue hair and, still kind of thinks she's a cheerleader. So
pretty much the way we all live.
Right, exactly.
I mean,
absolutely.
It's relatable to every barn you board at. There's always a crazy cast of characters.
There is. And Agnes, the older woman, she, she lives and says and does what we all wish we could do. And, it's just a lot of fun to write. The series has won 5 awards so far and has been optioned for film and television.
Yay!
So for you!
Excited about that. And this is the Horses in the Morning crew's second appearance in the series. So this is pretty amazing.
Did you make Jamie the killer this time?
I didn't.
Don't give it away.
I didn't.
Don't give it away.
Because, I just thought it would be hard for her to do the show from jail.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I
appreciate that. I appreciate that.
They probably don't have real good internet.
Probably not.
Well, I can't wait to read it and see what Jamie did do. Because she's that girl. She had to do something.
No.
Well, I will tell you that Kat Enright has a pretty interesting interview with Glenn and Jamie. And then she actually kind of sniffs you for another interview. So sorry about that. But
yeah.
She's on our blacklist now.
you have to understand that she's she's chasing the dead bodies and the killer was after her. She was just a little bit distracted.
Okay, we'll forgive her for that, I guess.
Yeah. Kat is banned.
Yeah. That, yes.
I'm not having Kat back on the show.
That's it. She's totally not allowed ever again.
Well, and what's really exciting about this book for me is that I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and the book encompasses country music, and I'm also a therapeutic writing instructor. So I've got a therapeutic writing center in there and the country music, and it all kind of works together. It's pretty cool.
You've led a very And you know, for new listeners, Lisa has actually filled in for Jamie on a couple shows here in Horses in the Morning and co-hosted. And you've led a very interesting life. Some of the people, the big stars, and some of the people you've gotten to meet living where you do near Nashville, it's been an interesting life writing some of the books you have, and it's just really cool.
Oh, thanks. So, you know, I took a break from horses for a while and became a country music industry publicist and artist manager. So I got to see that side of the music industry, and it was a lot of fun. And it, you know, it gave me a lot of information for when I'm writing these mysteries. So there's a reason for everything.
Well, you know, and you're not one of those. I know a lot of writers will sit down, they have this idea in their head, and they'll write out a whole very detailed outline, and then they go back and they know at the beginning what happens at the end. You don't write that way, do you?
Well, I do for my nonfiction, for my horse training books and that type of thing, like my horse, right. My partner, or therapy horse selection. I mean, you've got to have an outline for the publisher, right, to be interested in the book. But for fiction, no. And it's like, you know, Kat Enright popped into my head like almost 20 years ago, and she has kept me up more nights with her adventures. And she's like this, I don't want to say she's an alter ego, but she's somebody who definitely is very real to me. And so I just kind of listen to what she says and write it all down. It's just, I've talked to other fiction writers, and a lot of them write the same way. It's just really this bizarre process. Well, I can't really explain it.
I would imagine that it has to be real to you, because you are pretty much immersing yourself in her head, you know, in her brain, and living a life through her and putting pen to paper. So I would imagine it's very important to kind of have her as your alter ego.
Well, you know, and you know, the other thing is I can't read, or I can't watch television or movies or anything else when I'm working on a Kat Enright mystery, because then I start hearing those voices instead of Kat's. So I've got to stay really focused when I'm working on her projects. You know, she kind of slaps me upside the head inside and says, you know, pay attention. So I do.
Well, one of my absolute favorite authors of all time, and you're going to know him because he's a Southern author, is James Lee Burke. He writes the Dave Robichaux novels about a policeman down in a New Orleans police department in New Iberia, Louisiana.
Great,
and it's all about the it's all about the Cajun stuff. And it's just the way he writes is so magical. And I read that he writes the same way. It just Dave Robichaux is in his head, and whatever Dave's doing is what ends up on the paper.
That's kind of how it works. And you know, Kat gets herself into some interesting situations just because she's one of these people who kind of acts without thinking sometimes. She's just really passionate about fairness and justice. And if she sees something that isn't right, she just jumps in and you know, then kind of has to pay the consequences afterward because she, you know, didn't really take time to think whatever that was through. But, you know, she loves her friends and she loves her horses. And you know, in the end, she wants everything to, you know, feel safe and come out all right, even though, you know, she's done a lot of things that I would never do. She has this habit of, like, breaking into her neighbor's houses. I'm never walking to somebody's house like that. But she does it pretty regularly.
Now, are there things that Kat has done that you've told her, hey, Kat, sorry, we can't, you need to stop that because I just can't put it in the book?
Oh, yeah. You know, some of the men she's dated, I mean, we just really can't talk about that because these are cozy mysteries. So, you know,
that's a different series of books.
That's a different series of books. You know, we can't talk about that.
Written under a pseudonym. It's just like,
exactly. Exactly. And we have some dialogue sometimes that I'm like, you know, maybe, like you said, maybe a different story. So,
well, you know, they say everybody has voices in their head. You just figured out how to get them out and make money on them.
Well, exactly. You know, I just put them down on paper and share them. You know, it's about sharing the story, and she makes me laugh and cry. And you know, I had a reader last night. The book isn't even out, and I sent out some advanced copies like I did you guys. I had a reader email me last night at midnight and say, I'm on chapter 26, and I've been reading all day, and I'm too tired to go on. But I'll finish it in the morning. I thought, wow, I'm keeping somebody up. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I guess if they lose sleep reading your books, that's the ultimate for an author, right?
That is the ultimate compliment. It's like, if you postpone your bedtime to keep reading, I'm all about it.
Well, now, should people read the first two before they read this one, or does this a standalone book as well?
you know, they all are kind of standalones, and there's enough backstory in each of the books that you know, the Opium Equation is the first, and then the Magnum Equation, which is set at a horse show. They're all their own story, and they have the same characters, and the characters show, you know, some growth and development, and I don't really know what's going to happen between the characters from beginning to end. It's this book had quite a shocker for me toward the end with some of her friends, and but no, you know, you can just pick up any one of the books and just read it, and you know, go back if you liked what it was that you read.
I got to tell you, I'm looking at the back cover of the book. And again, the book is The Fame Equation, written by Lisa Wysocki. You can find it on Amazon or at Lisa's website. We'll give that in a minute. But I was looking at the back of the book where you've had people comment on your book. And I'm looking here, Jamie, you're going to love this. The first one that heaped a lot of praise on this book was Jean Abernathy, who we just had on the show last week.
Wow. Author, oh, I adore Jean.
Oh, yeah. Creator of Fergus the Horse. She was just on the show last week talking about her book that's coming out. And then
I'm a big Fergus fan.
And then you also had Robin Hutton, who of course was Sergeant Reckless, and we had her on the show a couple months ago. So small world.
Yeah. Huh? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I'm fans of both of their books, and it was just so exciting for them to be fans of Kat and to agree to say some nice words about it. And they both genuinely seemed to like the book. And I thought, well, that's really cool. You know, I think that's what every author wants, is just somebody to say, hey, you know, good job. You entertained me and I enjoyed it.
Well, I got to tell you, we just helped you out because Dr. Ellen, who's an avid listener and a cancer doctor in New York City, just wrote me a note and said, thanks for this show. I am an avid reader, didn't know about Lisa Wysocki's books. I just ordered all of them. So there you go.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
So Dr. Ellen, go ahead when you're done with them and put them there in the waiting room so people can read them too.
that would be awesome. Thank you.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much. We wanted to get you on a little closer when the book releases, but we're on vacation. So we definitely wanted to talk to you. I can't wait to read it, and I will definitely send you a note after I get done, okay?
That sounds great. I really appreciate that. If anybody wants to learn anything more, it's just lisawysocki.com, W-Y-S-O-C-K-Y.
lisawysocki.com, and they're all on Amazon. You'll find them anywhere. It's the give the names of all three again.
The first is The Opium Equation, then The Magnum Equation, and the new one is The Fame Equation.
The two you should be most concerned about are the last two, because that's the ones we're in. So, just saying.
Absolutely.
For some reason, we didn't make it into the first book. I don't know why, but we didn't.
I don't know why either, but you know, honestly, the last two books just wouldn't be what they are if they weren't for you guys.
I knew that.
Well,
thank you.
Part of that.
thank you for including. You're a good sport, Lisa. Thank you.
Well, Lisa, thanks for putting us in them. That's so cool to tell people about that. I'm in a book, like the real me.
That's right.
That's really awesome.
I had fun, so thank you.
All right, thanks, Lisa. Take care.
Okay, talk to you guys later. Bye bye.
Bye.
Isn't that neat? it's kind of so neat.
Cool. So cool. I'm like, Chad, this is the book I'm in. He's like, what? Yeah.
And it's so funny that she just has us doing the show. I mean, we're horses in the morning in the book.
Yeah. So. Broadcasting live from some jumper ring.
Yeah.
Ringside.
We go on location a lot more in your books than we actually do in real life. But,
well, it would not be an exciting story to say that Jamie Jennings is currently sitting in her pajamas in Phoenix.
With her child on her lap.
Dog at her feet.
What a busy show. What a fun. Well, tomorrow we have the Certified Horsemanship Association is going to be here. Christy will be joining in, talking some training topics. Then Wednesday, Jamie will be back, actually be our last show live before vacation. We have recorded a bunch of new shows for you, though, when we're gone next week. So there's going to be all kinds of good stuff. Thursday, you're going to want to tune in because Jamal was on, Holly Bennett's husband, was on the Horse Husbands episode that you'll all hear on Thursday. We recorded it last week. I'm never going to be on a show with him again. He just has that voice, and you know what he looks like. I mean, he's
beautiful.
Yeah, he's just built like a Greek god, and he talks like a Greek god, and pretty much...
He's available for massages at horse trials, ladies.
By the way. And pretty much Timothy and I just felt inadequate and like we shouldn't even have been there. So That's coming up on Thursday's show. He actually submitted a couple of pictures for the horse husband's calendar. Remember we talked about
good
that?
God, of himself, I'm in.
Well,
I'm buying.
I will forward you the one I'm not allowed to post. I will forward that to you, and you can take a look at it. I'm not allowed to put it up. I'm forbidden from posting this because, I'll just send it to you, and then you can judge for yourself, Jamie. Just don't post it. Just saying. I'll be in trouble. I'll send it for your pleasure only.
Dude, this is going to be good.
And apparently there's been a ton of entries. Have you submitted Chad yet?
No, I have not.
You should. I mean, he's a fighter pilot. He's got to make the calendar, right? You need a picture of him looking all sexy in his fighter pilot outfit.
Done.
All right. Send it over. Send it over to Timothy, and he'll put it. He's got a ton of entries, so it should be interesting, the horse husband's calendar next year. And tune in on Thursday for that show. Well, that's it, Jamie. Happy birthday. Enjoy the rest of your day.
All right. Thanks, you guys. I'm going to have a good one. Chad took the day off, so pretty much I'm going to go ride all day. I'm going to go ride Thor right now.
Well, have fun. We'll see you, Jamie.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Play Jared. You're supposed to play Jared.
Oh, wait a minute. Stop.
I'm waiting.
Okay, here we go.
Spayed or geld?
Shh.
Wildflowers in her hair, she can go anywhere on that Palomino mare. She's got Rocky Mountain ivory that she wears around her neck, and the Grateful Dead plays a song in her head. Somewhere between cowboy and hippie, she's all about peace, love.